grandest of risings, king gods and goddesses. I am Kimberly Michael Schneider, that white girl. Thank you for sharing time with me today. I have the ridiculous privilege to have Antonio Love on my show today. I would like to put him in a box and give him a title. I don't think he believes in boxes. So we're going to talk about creating new dialogues individually, of course, and collectively as a unit. He is, he likes to say he's another man reminding people of how powerful. He does mindset coaching. He has been all over speaking to different people and different groups of people about changing their mindset and believing in themselves. So thank you, Antonio. Welcome. I'm grateful. How are you today? What's going on? All those things.
I am doing wonderful. And I thank you, Kimberly Queen, for having me on your show. What another beautiful day it is. So let me just speak to your people real quick. Grand rising. It is another beautiful day. Another day for us to pick up our head and stick our chest out and walk with our power and walk with our authority. That every rising, when we wake up, take a deep breath and let that breath just flow through your body. Let it minister to your heart and minister to your organs and minister to your mind and remind you who you are. Powerful.
Yes, this is why I love you so much.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Because, yeah, you just, you know, you can say one sentence and speak to someone's soul. And you know, it's a beautiful thing. I accidentally, if you will, of course, we don't believe in that. So I created an environment where I drew you to me and vice versa.
Absolutely.
And I mean, literally within the first conversation, I was hooked. I'm floored every time I talk to you. I'm moved every time I talk to you. I'm inspired every time I talk to you. And I think it is important that people witness and experience what I have with you as much as possible for a multitude of reasons. Because, of course, I think we all need to heal our own individual selves, but I think we also need to collectively, you know, heal ourselves as a unit, you know.
Absolutely. So, and that's so true, you know. It starts with us, but at the same time, it starts as a community as well. I like to say it's like a buffet or either a potluck dinner that we bring what we bring to the table. You know, whatever energy it may be, you know, you may at home may prepare that meal like a potluck dinner, prepare your favorite dish, which is preparing you. You are that top dish. And then when you come together as a group, oh, baby, all those foods come together, all that energy come together, and then there's this big buffet of energy, a big buffet of food, and you can look around and say, yes, let's enjoy. Right. You know, so yes, yeah. I totally agree.
That's a beautiful scenario, which reminds me, I don't want to say I forgot, but I had stored it away.
Ooh, I like that.
My family lived in Marietta, Georgia for a while, which is right outside of Atlanta for those who don't know about Marietta.
Absolutely.
But they went to a school there that I'm going on memory, and they were in elementary school, and they were, speaking it now, it seems so just unbelievable, but at the same time, it's Atlanta. There was 51 different countries represented at this school of children.
That's powerful.
And once a month, they had a night where all the families would show up in their attire. They'd cook food from their country, and everyone celebrated everyone's diversity and ethnicity and religion and food and clothing and beauty and depth. It was a beautiful experience. So now that you are saying that, you know, to me, that all makes sense, and it's perfect. It's a perfect scenario for really what needs to happen.
Absolutely.
You know, going back to the old school barbecues, I had a conversation with a gentleman once, and well, it wasn't a conversation, it was a dialogue, if you will, on Facebook, on someone else's post. And near the end of us going back and forth, I accused him of being racist, of course.
Right.
And he was very upset with me at the time. And his comeback to me, his rebuttal was, "I'm not racist. Ask the inner city kids that I work with every day."
Mm.
And I said, how about, and I might have told this story before, but I'm telling it again. I said to him, "How about you tell me the last time you went to the barbecue of those inner city kids' family, hung out with them and spoke to them and drank with them and smoked some bud with them and ate with them and, you know, played with their kids? Matter of fact, when's the last time your kids spent the night in the inner city with those kids?" You know, like,
absolutely.
You know, we have to understand that just because you don't claim, you know, racism,
right,
or ignorance or intolerance or whatever, just because you think that you live this life, this is the root of what we're talking about today. Absolutely. Just because you're putting this out here and you're saying, "I am not this,"
right,
I don't think people understand what they're saying. So
I know how it is. People see through their own perception, you know. So a lot of times when people say certain things, they're trying to validate or qualify, you know, their stance on something. And a lot of times, if they really, really look deep, there's some prejudice there. There's some racism there. You know, we all have it, but some just represent it a lot stronger than others.
Right. Which leads to what we're actually talking about today, really. Is we're talking about words. We're talking about manifesting your reality with the words that you speak. We talked about the title, and so I actually changed it a little bit. Absolutely. To creating a new dialogue. I think I use the word recreate, and I also use the word undo, but at the end of the day, you cannot undo what you've created, at least for this moment, but you can create something different from this moment. So I think that was appropriate. And
I like
being that I feel like, oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, I like that.
So glad about that.
Yeah.
And being that you are not in a box, and there's not one thing that, you know, you can say that you are or do, or I definitely feel like your gift is the ability to inspire people to manifest and then to apply.
Absolutely.
So manifestation and application, and I think that is your gift, whether you're aware of that or not. And I've told you over the last maybe 10 days that we've been, you know, communicating,
absolutely,
that I have been inspired to be active in my knowledge instead of just knowing what I know. I have been deliberate and actually applied a lot of things that I've known for a very long time, but I just never applied them, which I know that.
Absolutely.
I'm one of the people that is aware of my deficiencies. And so I know what I've been doing, because I feel like knowledge is knowledge and wisdom is knowledge applied. And a lot of people don't transfer from that knowledge to that wisdom spot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I feel like you do that, like you inspired me. I can't imagine that you don't inspire other people. And when I was around my daughter this week, I let her listen to some of the messages that you sent. And then you sent some, you know, for us. And
right.
You know, I read some things to her that and it applied to her life, that she, you know, that what's going on with her. She was like, "Wow, Mom, this dude." I'm like, "Yes, I know." You know, before we even start with the word thing and the manifestation and the application, let me just say that what you're doing, and I do tell all my guests this, but I'm not being repetitive, I'm speaking to you individually, is so important. It's so important what you are doing because you are creating something in an individual person that can then bring that to the table for that buffet, for that, you know, potluck.
Absolutely.
And it's so important.
I appreciate that. I really do. And that's why I do what I do. I tell people so much, what I do to you and do for you, I'm doing for myself. Because we're all reflections, we're all mirrors, we're all connected. Even if we admit it or not, we're all connected. Right. You know, so every time that I speak life into someone else's, I'm speaking life into myself, because that's my reflection, you know? And so many times people, sometimes we're distracted. I like to say distracted, not blinded to, but we're distracted where we don't see our own power. And like so many, I meet so many people that think, oh my God, I'm powerless. But then I go to looking in their life like, what do you mean you powerless? Look how powerful you are. And then after a while, they're feeling powerful. They're like, oh my God, thank you for that. But I'm like, you're welcome. But all I did is hold up the mirror. That's all I did. Right. You know?
Right. And you said that to me this week. You said that to me. You know, I'm just reflecting.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself, like I'm now moved. I think that in itself is so powerful, because I walk around seeing the greatness in everybody. I see it, not potential. I'm not talking about potential. I'm talking about the actual greatness that they hold within them. I see it in my children. I see it in people that are, I see it in you. I see it in people that I run across. Don't get me wrong. There's a few people I can't see it in, but the majority of the time I witness it. And then I express that to them. Mm-hmm. And lately I've had a few people, very close people in my life, you know, telling me, you giving it all away. You don't save any for yourself. This is what you do. And you know, I've had people that said, literally, I don't really know you that well, but I'm telling you, you do this. Like, you make me feel like $1 million. Why can't you make yourself feel like, you know, $1 million?
Right.
And for you to say that to me was so powerful in the moment, because how can I see the greatness in you if I don't have greatness in myself? How can I say you have it, you know?
Absolutely. And that's exactly how it is. Because basically, and I'm going to give it to you like this. When you look at a person and see that greatness, guess what? You're looking at yourself. You see the greatness within you, because you can't see what's not within you. You can't see it. Like another person, a person that doesn't have, like, let's say, don't know the vision or don't understand their power, they can't look at another person and see that power. No, they see their insecurities. Like, they can look at a person like, oh my God, you know, this person, that. They see themselves.
Right.
Because what we see is the things that we love about ourselves, and we see the things that we hate about ourselves. You know,
that is a harsh lesson, actually. That is a really harsh lesson. And it's a hard, I shouldn't say hard, I don't like that word. It's challenging.
Yes.
It's a challenging position to be in, but it is I think it's necessary for growth.
Absolutely.
For you to realize, excuse me, that the people that you're, that you see, and the people that cause the most irritation with you. And I attempted, and I still, it's a challenge when I run across this, you know, what in them is bothering me that is striking a nerve? What is it about what they're doing that is causing you, you know, this anguish or this attitude or this fear? We've talked about that. I speak of either fear or love. So
absolutely,
if something is projecting something on you that is not love, it, to me, it's fear in one way, shape, or form. And that's a very, very challenging. And I think it's continuous. I think that's something that you probably do until, you know, you pass, until you transition. I really do. I think that you run all the time, every day, every other day, once a week, once a month, whatever it may be. And you encounter somebody you just want to choke the hell out of.
Absolutely.
And you have to know why.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the power right there in itself. Knowing. You see me use that word a lot, knowing. Knowing is the highest form, I like to say, of knowledge. Is knowing. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you know, then you have your power. You're like, okay, I know. So now like you said, the wisdom is the applying. Well, now that you know, what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah. Right. And that's what you do. That's what I think. I think you are that equal sign, if you will. You are what creates the totality of whatever you are doing. You are the one that says, okay, you have this. This is how you manifest it. You know that's how you manifest it. Now do, go, right. Be.
Exactly. That's it. And that's what I do. You know?
Yeah.
First thing I agree. Have a person locate themselves. That's number one. Locate yourself. Let's see where you are. All right. This is what you've been through. Cool. Tell me it one time. And after they tell me one time, what's the solution? And we work from there.
Right.
You know? So right. Yes.
And maybe I should, not today, not right now, but I'm just saying, you don't even know my history. When we started speaking to one another, you had no idea of my background, where I was coming from. I mean, you could have stalked my page and, right. you know, read some posts and, you know, determined something about me. But for the sake of this conversation, as far as I knew, you knew nothing about me, about my background, where I came from, what I've been through, any right. of those things. And really, I think I shared a post of yours, and that's how this whole thing started.
Right.
Because it was brilliant. It was just, you know, you use the word manifestation, one of my favorite words.
And,
you know, I think the post said, you need to stop mistreating your partner because they're sitting there manifesting someone who they want to treat them the way they want to, something of that verb.
Hello.
Funniest thing ever. We went over this and while we were talking. I said, but that never happens. We never get cut off. And of course I got cut off. So
absolutely. But we're back.
but we're back. And I'm hoping that was saved. My whole podcast went down. So we'll see what happens. We'll figure it out. But right now I'm going to keep going as if, you know, the first half of it was absolutely recorded. So we were talking about words and manifesting and people mirroring one another, and how just by, you know, me sharing one of your posts that we got into this, you know, dialogue, if you will. And you were still, and my point was that you were still, even not knowing me, you were still able to speak life into me and speak on things that were important, and they weren't specific per se to a particular situation, at least as far as you knew. I think you were probably just speaking to me in the most, and maybe not, maybe you know, like you say, you see into people, you see, you know, the mirror type thing.
Absolutely. So
you were able to see some things in me, but you speak directly to me when you speak to me, and it's just, I mean, I wish I had words, which is stupid because I have a million words all the time. But when it comes to you, I'm really at a loss. Like, a gift is all I have sometimes to say about you. Like, this, you're just unbelievable to me that you're able to do that. And my thought is, let me backtrack, because we were talking about how you were saying you have to know. You were talking about knowing.
Knowing, yes.
You were talking about knowing. So elaborate on knowing again, just in case I missed or anybody missed the end of what the knowing.
Knowing is so important. Knowing is the highest. It's the highest form of knowledge. Mm-hmm. When I say knowledge or whatever, because we get information. That's the difference between information and knowledge. Because the information you get, do you know it? You understand? And I like to break down the word knowing. Inside of the word know, let's break it down. Inside of the word know is now. So what do you know? You know now. That's the key. What do you know now? Like, people say they have knowledge or something, but my thing is, what do you know now? If you don't know it now, then you don't have knowledge or something, you know? And then inside of the word knowledge, all right, is at the end of it, you see the edge. So what do you know gives you the edge? What do you know gives you the edge? And then also the edge is inside of the ledge, because what you know puts you on the ledge. You're on the ledge and you're on the edge of change. So what are you gonna do? So knowing allow you to step over that ledge. The ledge to change, which is the ledge of elevation. But if you don't know now, it don't give you the edge. You can't go to the ledge and there's no change.
Right. There's no jumping. There's no flying. There's no nothing. You can, and you still have a choice.
You've got a choice.
To that ledge. You can still stand there on that ledge and look into what could be, or you could jump. I have a meme in my phone that says, something to the effect of, I'm the type of person that jumps and builds my wings on the way down.
Yes. But that's the key, though. That's the strength. You have two extremes. I would say two extremes. There's so many different people in the middle of it. But two extremes. You have the people that need everything to be in place before they make a move. And then you have those that say, you know what? I'm just going. I trust that where I'm going, I'm going to be able to stand on solid ground. So you have those two different strains, which nothing wrong with either, but you want to have a little bit of both in you. You want to be that person that say, you know what? I trust. I have faith in my higher self, our God, our universe, whatever you want to call it. I always say whatever nickname you have with your divine.
Exactly.
You know, whatever your nickname is, you trust that wherever I go, I'm going to find what I need to find. The people I need to meet is going to be there. The money I need is going to show up. You got to have that type of no, not faith, not belief, but that type of no. Because belief is, it's possible that this might happen. I believe it might happen. But when you know, can't nothing change it. Just like you, if somebody come to you and say, you're not a woman, Kimberly. You're not a woman. There's no argument. You know that you're a woman. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's no argument there. So when you know something, you look at someone like they dumb. Like, really? Like, we have this conversation? Nah, man. What are you talking about? And so that's the difference between knowing. Like, you know definitely. And how do you know something definitely? You experienced it.
Right.
You know?
I say all the time, and I get in so much trouble and so many debates about it. And the day that I actually, this is still one of my challenges to completely get this word. I mean, sometimes I literally have to sit and think, how do I say this without including this word? How do I make this a statement? But I say all the time, hope is a mistake.
Right.
Hoping for something is wanting for something, which keeps you in the state of wanting it, which is why I think people pray wrong, because they pray for something they feel that they do not have, which then they're speaking into existence a lack. And so I say all the time to people, don't hope, have unmitigated faith.
I like that.
An unmitigated faith that is the plan. You know what I mean? Like, I hope you're having a good day. I know you're having a good day.
Right. I like that.
You're having a great day. But it's challenging.
It is. I like it. And when you said that, the first thing I thought about is basically what hope is the beginning. I like to say hope is the beginning. It's like you get ready to cook a meal. It's raw right now. You haven't cooked it yet. But the more you season it the way you need to season it, the way you prepare it the way you need to prepare it, it's cooking. That's what hope does. The more you believe in it, the more you trust in it, then it shifts from that hope to a belief. Because a hope is like, I hope this happened. Like, you're not sure, but I hope. Then all of a sudden, you put a little more seasoning on it. You put a little more focus on it. You put a little more thought on it. Then it's cooking. It's like, oh, I believe this now. Oh, I believe this now. Now you believe it. Now you believe it. It's optional now, you know? And then all of a sudden, whoa, things are starting to happen. I know now. I know. So you're starting to cook it. So I feel like hope and faith is just the beginning of it. And so a lot of people do stay there. They stay in the hope stage. They stay in the faith stage and wonder why things don't happen in their life. It's because you don't really have a good relationship with it. You're not even a match to it yet. Because you can't you can't get anything until you're a match to it. You gotta match that vibration. You gotta match that frequency. And if you're not matching it, you're never gonna get it. You just be someone window shopping.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Which is why so many people are where they are.
Right.
And you know, which is why I, you know, challenge them. And I challenge people because I want to be challenged. You know what I mean? I used to always say hope. I used to say hope all the time. I hope this happens. I hope this is going to go. I hope this is that. I hope, you know, and somebody challenged me, you know, hope is a mistake. I was like, hope is a mistake. You know, and of course you should know me already. I'm inboxing. What you mean? Hope is a mistake. What you saying? Explain it to me.
Right.
You know, this is really how, to be honest with you, I have acquired a lot of my relationships, and I call them relationships, business, personal, intimate, whatever, they're still relationships, you know what I mean? So they're experiences that I have with these people that I brought into my life, and I'm so grateful. And that's how it starts usually, is that I'm challenged by them to some degree,
right?
And they make me question, you know, my thought process and what I'm doing. again, full circle, brings me back to you. It was immediate. Like when I read that, I was like, dang, you know.
Right.
And I remember, and not to put our business out there, but I inboxed you. I was like, you are fucking brilliant. I said, you are fucking brilliant. And your response to me was, that just shows how brilliant you are.
Absolutely.
I thought about that, and I was like,
absolutely.
This dude. And I was like, that is a perfect response to a compliment like that. It is perfect. And so, you know, I did that back to somebody this week.
Right.
I did that back to somebody this week. They said something to me, and I did that, and I don't remember the logistics. I might think of it halfway through, but and they said something to me, and I was like, well, that just shows, you know, that part of you.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I love Antonio. Like, I love this dude. You know, because again,
mirror
and application. I'm applying what, again, was stored. It's not anything I didn't know, but it was stored away. And remembering certain things, that's what you have me do. You have me remember. But somehow, some way, I don't know the magic in it. I really don't. But you have created the verb of those of that knowledge that I have in me, and that has been stored in me. You're creating. You're co-creating with me, if you will.
Absolutely.
You're co-creating with me. You're inspiring me. And I don't know that that's your intention, but it definitely that's how it comes, you know, out. And that's what happens. Your movement creates my, you know, some more movement in me, and then we create these movements. So,
right, and that's the way energy works, you know.
Yes, and it's a beautiful thing. And I know we were supposed to talk about words, and we haven't got there. And I do want to at least touch on it briefly.
Okay.
You know, I think people can have an idea of who you are, and can feel and understand, and hopefully see through this dialogue, you know, your true person and your true spirit, and how just amazing that you are as a creature in itself. And
thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, I'm and you know that I'm not saying anything. I have, you're just amazing to me. So but the main reason, if I will, other than to let people know how spectacular you are, to have you on here, is because recently I was looking, I look up words just for the definition, just to see how they're defined, what they look like, what they feel like. And, you know, just, I know people know words, and you know that you know a word, but if you go and if anybody's ever stopped you in the middle of the day, be like, what does such and such mean? And then you have to actually define that verbally. I don't know if you've ever been stuck, but I have. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I know exactly what the words means, but for me to actually verbalize what it is or what it means, I come up short on that sometimes, you know.
Right.
One day I'm sitting here and all of my brain and thoughts where I overthink, and I look up the word racism. You know, this is basically the majority of what my podcast is about. And not only is it, it's not so much that it's about racism, but my objective is to create a dialogue about the foundation of why we are where we are.
Right, right.
Not every distraction that comes along. I could do a live every day on the injustice that goes on in the United States right now. Every single day I could go live and talk about how this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. And sometimes it literally rips my heart out. And I have no understanding. I have no, I can't grasp it. I can't get to it. And I realized a few years ago, when I walked away from a very lethal relationship, I started working out. I trained myself to run. I was doing all of these, you know, eating differently and, you know, going to the beach every day. And I was reading a book, and it said, if you have bad fruit from a tree, you can't, and I'm ad-libbing, of course. You know, if you have bad fruit from a tree, you can't fix the fruit. You have to fix the roots. You have to get to the root of the problem, the root of that tree, and you have to nourish the roots if the fruit is coming up bad. Like, you could pick apples from a bad tree and cut off all the pieces and make a decent apple pie.
Right.
But if you fix the root, if you fed the root and the core of what it was and what it is, then you would create even better and more delicious apples that were, would create more pies that were even better than before.
Powerful. I love that.
And it hit me that that's what I had done. I had been trying to cut out the bad parts of my apple, and I hadn't worked on my roots at all. And that experience, I think, is why I am doing it from the direction that I'm doing it, because I think it's important that we understand. If you don't want to use the word history, okay, cool. Let's then roots, history, the core of what is systemic racism, the core of what is oppression, the core of what is Black liberation, because the core is where we can all move from. The roots is where we're all, you know, gonna come from, not
Absolutely.
From the apples or, you know, whatever fruit it is that you're growing or attempting to grow. You know, no, I don't think any apple is the same.
Absolutely, it's not. So true.
So true. So with that being said, none of us are the same. We have come to that conclusion. Okay, that is what is happening. None of us are the same. We are all absolutely uniquely individual, and it's on purpose. And if you ever want to quote the Bible, and you ever want to say whatever, and you ever want to do, we are all created in His image.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I like how you put that, you know, his or her, you know, image, you know, because at the end of the day, what everybody have to understand is that our collective being of what we are is that creation. Mm-hmm. You know, like the analogy you used as trees or whatever, I like to look at it as the forest. All of us, we're the forest. We're all these different trees in the forest, but we're all connected to the soil. That's what brings us all together, is the soil. You know, and I was thinking about the analogy you used about the tree, you know, about the statement or whatever. You can't cut all the apples off. You have to, you know, look at the roots. Mm-hmm. But I say, even to add to that, you got to look at the soil. Mm-hmm. To heal a tree, you got to make sure the soil is healthy. That soil must be healthy. And the things that's going inside that soil is what make it healthy. The water that you put in it, the fertilization that you put in, and the water represent, what is the water? The water represent the knowledge that we're putting in ourselves, the things that we're looking at, the things that we're focusing on, you know? And I like to say the soil, and I'm gonna play on this for a little bit before we move on to the verbs or whatever, like the soil or whatever is collected to the earth, right? It's to the earth. So the earth represent to me the heart. Because if you take the word earth and you take the H, that's the end of earth, and put it at the front, what do you get? Heart. Heart and earth, the same thing. You just move the H. So where you put the H is the difference between it. And I like to say the earth is our heart. Why? Because our earth is soil. Whatever you plant inside of there is fertile. It's going to grow. You could plant hate inside of your heart, and guess what? It's going to grow, baby. You put love inside of your heart, oh, it's going to grow, baby. So what you put inside of that earth is going to determine the roots that we grow. Because, you know, and then at the end of the day, you know, whatever roots we have is, that's the things we're going to continue to experience in our life.
Mm-hmm. You're that's a perfect analogy, but I don't expect anything less from you. So this is why I love talking to you, because you're able to build on what I say to you, and you're able to, we're not going to talk about this today. We might have a conversation about it, but we're not going to talk about it today. But we had a conversation about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I don't think you understand the depths, because we did not, I haven't followed up with you on this. I don't think you understand the depths of what happened that day between you and I, and what happened for me, and what I have been working on. But we'll have that conversation another day, absolutely. But this is what I have unmitigated faith is that people will listen to this podcast, and that you will inspire them like you've inspired me. Whether you inspire their thought, whether you inspire their actions, whether you inspire their words, their understanding, it matters not to me what you inspire, but I know in my heart of hearts, people listening to this will be inspired by you in some way, shape, or form to move, to create. And that's what I'm excited about. And that's why, because we're on this root conversation and the soil conversation, when I looked up these words, for me, most people know my history, so they know that I'm not one of those white girls that, I grew up in the hood, I grew up around black folks, you know, that's all I know, you know, this, I didn't, that's not how I grew up. I grew up in a white mindset. I lived in the white supremacy mindset. I lived in it for a long time, and I was privileged. I went to private schools, Catholic schools. The majority of the people in my life were white.
Right.
My ancestors are white. I mean, maybe not all of them. That's
right.
My podcast. But the majority of my ancestors are white. My immediate family is white. My friends were white, and I grew up in that. So I feel like my cognitive dissonance has already been challenged and abruptly ended.
Right.
I was able to come out of that mindset into a different mindset based on my choices and my life moving forward as almost damn near an adult. I mean, I was in the 10th grade before I was really around a lot of black folks, and that was in my high school.
Gotcha. And
I say all the time, you know, I walked in 10th grade like, where have black folks been my whole life? Like, where have y'all been? You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just like,
right.
Oh, you know, initially I was fascinated, literally, like just fascinated, and beauty and the way black folks move and the way we talk and the way we function and the way we dress and the boldness. I mean, I was just like, oh, I was enamored of black people. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
Thrilled about it, honestly. And then I was confused, like, I don't understand. So when I look at this, I of course probably have a different mindset when I look at them. But I looked up the word racism, and I like synonyms. I love thesaurus. I love it. And the synonyms, some of them were, and I said this wrong to you initially, were xenophobia, chauvinism, bigotry,
right,
intolerance, prejudice, of course. And
right.
I started thinking about racism. So let me say this, because again, when you speak of it, you don't necessarily understand. Racism defined is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief. Now, here's what threw me when I read this. I'm just going to be honest. Based on the belief that, now listen, I did not know this, that one's own race is superior. So when most people say, you know, what is racism? Oh, that when white people don't like black folks, or you don't like Jewish people, or you don't like somebody from another race, right?
Right, right.
Common sense. But the reality is that these words that were created, not by us, by all means, we don't even have English is a created language.
Absolutely.
Practically.
Absolutely.
It's not even a language that has come from the root core of who we are as people, but it's created. So whoever created these words and put them together based on Latin or Greek or Sanskrit, if you want to go that far, however far back you want to go with language.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
The intention behind the word racism was to understand that not only are you prejudiced and discriminatory against someone because of their race, you're doing it because you feel like you are superior to that race.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yes. Huge. That's so true.
And so here we are, racism, 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 and we are feeding superiorism, if that's a word, but I just put it up. So we're feeding into superiorism.
Absolutely.
And that's in this idea.
And that's what happened with that, you know, like that word or whatever, you know, racism. You know, or what I see, you saw the definition. You know, when I look at racism, you know, I like to play with words or whatever. The R.
You do.
The R, you know, I see as A-R-E, not as R. I listen to the sound of the raw, and then the A. So R-A-C-S, R-A-C-S. So racism, R-A-C-S. What I see in that is, all I see is my race. All I see is my race. So when I look out to anyone that's not my race, they're inferior to me because my race is all I see. You know, and that's what racism is. You're saying that you're more superior to any other race. You know, and I've experienced it from, you know, different levels. Beautiful part about my family is so diverse. And what I mean by that is my mom's side of the family is mixed between Haitian and Native American. So you got that. You got those two from us. and then on the other side, my dad, he's Bahamian. And so you got the Bahamian side, and then he married into the French side. So it's the whole mixture of all this diverse. So I see it. You know, the Native American, you know, side or whatever, they feel superior. And then, of course, the Haitian side feels superior. So I've witnessed it and seen it my whole life, you know. So I get that. I get that where one would feel, you know, that their race is more superior just because they do that, believe it or not. It's done out of love and hate. Love is you want to feel so good about yourself. You want to feel like you are powerful. You want to feel like you're great. Right. But the problem comes in when you want to promote yourself and feel like to promote yourself, you have to push someone else down. You have to suppress someone. That's the issue.
That is the absolute issue. That is the that is the issue in its entirety.
Yep.
Is that we are promoting superiorism in people who live in their egos. It is fucking dangerous. It is, I'm saying this on purpose, it is fucking dangerous. And we witness that danger every single day. Not me as a white person, but definitely black folks as black people.
Absolutely.
Brown people as brown people, really. Muslims as you know, they can't even practice. People don't even, you know, get the right, like, you know, Muslims and they don't practice Muslim. They practice Islam.
Right.
They are Muslims. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's such a disconnect. But that is it. That is absolutely it. We cannot keep functioning and speaking these things because I think that we're feeding into it.
Absolutely.
And it's so far back. So let's talk about xenophobia, which is a synonym for racism, which means the dislike of or prejudice against people from other countries.
Yes.
So let's go back to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, French, British, I call them white folks, initially came over here.
Right.
Found Native Americans who are from another, not only from another country, but back then they probably thought it was from another planet because supposedly, you know, them discovering that there was another continent with people on it. Now here you are. You're immediately afraid of a Native American on their soil, in their land. You're immediately afraid of them because you have a phobia of people that aren't from your country. Now, granted, y'all aren't from the same country, technically, but you are white folks, and we are looking at very brown skin natives.
Right.
And so now we have racism and we have xenophobia. So now you're afraid of them because they're from another country. You already feel like you're superior because of who you are coming from and to you because you're coming from this country that has all of this technology, which we and you and I both know was not crazy technology compared to now.
Right.
Looking at a group of people who are brown, they're different than you, they're from another country from you, you already think you're superior, and then you add the fact that they live a very simplistic, minimalist, connected life.
Absolutely.
So you disqualify, if you will, every aspect of who they are. And then you discover Africa? And then, so now it's the same concept.
Right.
So you superiorize yourself, you go to this other continent, you see these beautiful black people doing beautiful black things, and I'm being very deliberate by saying it this way.
Right.
And you are afraid because you are afraid of them because they're not from your country. You're afraid of them because their skin is brown. and you already feel like you are superior to them because you have what you call evolved into a space that where you move differently than they do. So their connection with the universe, their connection with self, their connection with quote village is so different than what yours is. Now you have created a prejudice,
right? Which absolutely, you know, in that word, you know, like you said, the phobia or whatever, the main thing is, and this is me speaking, you know, from a person to person, right. You know, right. That phobia of foreigners and things like that, people fear what they don't understand. Mm-hmm. You know, they fear those things. So, you know, in the process of, like you were saying, you know, discovering, you know, so-called America or Africa, you know, the fear, they fear one, they fear, okay, I don't understand these people. But at the same time, the fear that they feared as well is, these people may be capable of what we're doing right now.
Right, exactly. And more. And exactly. Maybe more.
You know?
Which then challenges your belief that you're superior.
Right.
Which you and I both know any type of change makes you physically uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Aside from what happens out of spiritually and mentally and emotionally, physically, change will make you uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
It is a fact. It's a fact. So we have all these things going on, and then we have people coming over here and creating a language for us, if
right.
you will, separate even from their own language.
Right.
And now we have words like bigotry and chauvinism. And let me back up to prejudice, because I want to define it. It says
okay.
preconceived opinion that isn't based on reason or actual experience. So what basically what you just said, we don't even have to go over it. You think something and therefore it is, whether it is real or whether it isn't.
Absolutely. Pre-UIC.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I see in that word.
Syndrome and other yeah. things. Go ahead. Yeah.
You know, it's pre-you that I see. So pre-you, I see. You know, at the beginning of it
yep.
is E-R-E, you know, and I see the
yep.
you, and then I see the C. So when you're looking at something, before you even meet them, we all have a prejudice of something. And basically what it is, I may think something is beautiful. So when I see something that I think is beautiful, automatically it's beautiful to me. It don't matter what anybody else say. But if I think something is ugly, guess what? When I see it, it's ugly.
All right, again, the craziest thing. So I'm glad we had this conversation, because you know we can just keep riding with it. So we're talking about words, and we're moving from prejudice into words that were created or synonyms of racism, which are words like bigotry, chauvinism, intolerance. And I had this conversation with you, and this is the conversation that I really, really was intentionally wanted to have.
Right.
Is to me, based on my background and the white supremacy mindset that I grew up in, and now being in a different mindset, if you think bigotry, I think white. If I think chauvinism, I think intolerance, I think white. I don't think Black folks. I don't think Native American. I don't think Muslims. I don't think Jews. And I'm not saying that everybody else doesn't, but in my world and what my movement has to do with is I hate to say specifically Black and white, but at the same time, I don't like to, I'm fine with that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think that we have created these words and created a dialogue. Now, my understanding is the secret and the law of attraction goes back to like 1600s.
Absolutely.
Maybe even earlier than that. Maybe even earlier. I could be wrong with that. It might have been 1400s, but I was reading about it. I looked it up specifically.
Right.
I wanted to know, like, was the United States created? It was already created on fraud. The Treaty of Paris is just a fraudulent document. Okay. Someone, something that doesn't even belong to them in the first place. So that is a basis right there of just what we're built on. But
absolutely.
Did we intentionally create words?
Absolutely.
Did we intentionally create them?
Absolutely. I totally believe, you know, that the English language is things that were pulled from all other languages, you know, and each word meant something, you know, like in school, like in school, what do we learn? We learned our ABCs. We learned how to spell. Words are spells. They create certain things. So certain words hold certain energy, you know, like you were just saying about, you know, bigotry and intolerance and chauvinist, you know, all those mean something, you know, because you created that dialogue, like you said, recreate the dialogue, you know. They created a dialogue in a language so that certain words hold certain weight. So if you notice, you know, I won't get into deep in it, but look at the word awake. Awake. You break that down. What is awake? We say it all the time. I am awake. But if you break down awake, what is awake? Awake is something we go to see the dead. You know, someone dying is awake.
Wow.
Think about that. That's why you never hear you never hear me say good morning. Why? Listen to that word morning. Good morning. You're mourning. Why are you mourning? Why is that a good thing?
Right.
You know.
Right.
So to take it back to that, that's just, you know, a few examples. So chauvinist, you say you when you think about it, you see, you know, you see white men, you see white people,
right,
things like that.
Right.
That's your forest. Right. You know, that's your forest. You know, that's what you grew up in. So that's what you see. So your perspective on that is what your roots is, your soil, what you grew up in. You know, with a lot of us experiencing that. Because when I think of it, I can see it as white men. I can see it as, you know, black men inside of my inner dialogue. Because dealing with, you know what I'm saying, my family or whatever, I saw how one side thought they were better than the other ones. You know, that
the
Haitian side thought they were better than Native American. The Native American side thought they were better than the Haitian. So it was that all over again. You know? So,
wow.
So in words, you create so many things. Because if you can get someone to believe certain things. You know, let's look at the word fear, which I think is one of the strongest words in our English language, is fear.
Absolutely.
Because so many people are driven by it. So if you can get someone to focus on their fear, then you can control them. Because fear has an ear. Fear has an ear. Inside the word fear is an ear. So whatever fear they can spark up in you, or anyone can spark up in you, they can control you. You know, and another thing about fear is if you can keep it in certain words, like one word I don't use is fearless. Why? Because the root of that word is what? Fear.
Fear.
You hear people like, oh, that person is fearless. Yeah, but you just thought of fear. Why can't they be powerful? Why can't they be
right?
Why can't they be courageous?
Right.
You know, so it's certain things. So so taking certain words, you control people. So the words were built deliberately. If I can create a language and get you to speak a certain way, and I'm the one that created that language, then I can I can control your thought process. I can control the way you talk.
Right.
I can control the things that you do. So that's what the English language does.
Exactly. And that goes right in to the dialogue.
Yep.
The dialogue that is created in oppression and in the system, in systemic racism, is just that. And I say it all the time. I put up a post when Nipsey was murdered, and I didn't know him. Somebody inboxed me and was like, "Oh my God, Nipsey was murdered," and I was like, "Oh my God, you know who is he?" And it's a shame. It sounds like that I didn't realize who he was or know his works. It's a shame that it seems
not really,
that
not
I didn't.
Really,
I wasn't aware.
You just weren't aware of, you know, like
I wasn't aware, right? And
but how many Nipseys do you know? That's where I looked at it. How many Nipseys do you know? Like, I'm sure you know.
I know a shitload of Nipseys, thank God.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people are dealing with, you know, not to really go on that, you know. A lot of people dealing with, the things that he did, he's an amazing creature. I appreciate, you know, the man he was. But what it does is it reminds you of the people you know that's doing those things. That's why it's so hard. That's why it hits so hard, because it reminds you of those people, like, ooh, I have this type of person in my life. Ooh, I have this type of person, you know?
Exactly. And that was my post. My post was, somebody had made a meme that said he died in his neighborhood, in the same neighborhood that he was building up, or something of that nature. And again, I don't remember the exact meme, but something like that. And that was my point. My point is, because immediately there was a dialogue presented that split black folks down the middle.
Yep.
Was he murdered by gangs?
Right.
Or was he murdered by the government because he was doing this Dr. Sebi, Dr. CD documentary. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And then, of course, that turned into the Bill Cosby and blah, 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 and so on.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always presented. It seems like every time there's an issue with Black folks, there is a dialogue that is presented. There's not that dialogue. Prove me wrong. Please come and prove me wrong. But when white folks do shit, there isn't a dialogue that is presented to divide us. We automatically, and I'm going to use this as an example, and I believe his first name is Muhammad. I apologize to him profusely if it is not. But he was the one Black cop that killed the Australian white lady, I think in Washington or Minnesota or somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure of all the logistics because I have not researched it, because I don't need to.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it was a brother who killed the white lady. There's no dialogue amongst white people. They're not inputting us talking about her background and who she was and what she did. They're not bringing up her history. They're not showing any mugshots of her. They're not talking about how brave this cop is and how hard his job is. And they're not divided.
Right.
They're not divided.
Right.
They want him in jail, in prison. And that's exactly what he did. And that's exactly where he's at. And now she's got a $400 million settlement.
Right.
Which is 400 times more than any other Black family has ever received for the same type of situation.
Right.
And so here we are with no dialogue on that. You know what I mean? Nipsey dies, there's immediately a dialogue. A woman gets the shit beat out of her at McDonald's and none of the brothers in there do anything. And now Black women are you know, at the center of who needs to be more protected. Black folks do. Let me be clear.
Right.
Black folks need to be protected. And again, I can hear your mind going with my words, but I'm saying this in the most simplest terms for people. You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't need to dialogue about who is more misrepresented in this world, a Black woman or a Black man. And right. This is the dialogue that is being created. These are root words. I get it. These are main focus. My point is that the dialogues that get presented to us split Black folks down the middle. Who's creating those dialogues?
Exactly. And that's why that's why it's so important, you know, like you just said, you know, for us to create new dialogues. Because once those dialogues go out there, it does divide people. It divides.
Right
now it's an inner divide where it's an argument over who needs to be protected more. Is it the Black
man? Right.
You know, and that's where the issue is.
Right.
You know, the issue is, you know, we got to get to the point where we say, okay, let's take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening.
Right.
What's next?
Right, exactly. and that's what we, you know, and so I guess my absolute final question to you is, how do we do that? How do we stop engaging in these dialogues that are specifically created with the words to put us in a spell, as you like to say, and create more division as if we need it? We do not need this division. So you and I already know, and people know, you have to focus on yourself. You have to recreate what you're saying. So I feel like I do that deliberately. I specifically think about what I'm saying, how I'm saying it, what it's going to project. I speak life into people as much as I can. And if I can't, I just don't say shit to them.
Absolutely. See, and that's powerful. That's powerful that you said that. You know, that's a high form of wisdom right there. You know, it's just like our grandparents used to tell us. You don't have nothing nice to say, then don't say nothing at all.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. You know?
But,
exactly.
Yeah, you know. And so to create the dialogue, what I think, you know, number one is the person, every individual person's got to locate themselves. Like, look at where you are right now. Like, ask yourself, okay, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I? And what I mean by that is asking yourself, like, break it down. Like, where am I mentally? Mm-hmm. Where am I emotionally? Where am I physically? Where's my health?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I financially? Like, look at those things. That's number one. And then once you figure it out, you may look at those things and be like, oh my God, you know, this don't feel good. I don't want to look at it. I don't look at that. But look at it that one time and then to decide, where do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And once you decide where you want to be, Start looking at those things. Start finding people that's doing those things or moving towards those things. Start connecting with those people. So in this case, to create this new dialogue, find someone that's looking for the exact same thing you're looking for. I feel like so many times we get caught up in the debating and the argument right. part of it that we don't get to the solution.
Right.
Like I see that around, you know, that so many people are battling mm-hmm. on which doctrine we should go with.
Yes.
You know, to me, I'm like, forget the doctrine.
Right.
What is the mission? What right. is the goal? What are we trying? I don't care what you believe in. I don't care what you believe in. Right. I don't care what you believe in. Right. Put your belief aside and let's get to what we need to get
yes,
to.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like we don't have to believe the exact same thing right. to bring water to this person. You know?
Exactly. And I say that all the time, even though I don't want to say I don't believe that. That's a harsh statement. Even though the civil rights movement, that's my point. Black Panthers were at the end of the day, were woke. You know,
absolutely.
Farrakhan at the end of the day was still absolutely. Islam. I'm got thrown off. So Christians, there was no one in that civil right movement that was looking at the other civil right movement people with them, black folks, basically, and going, I'm not going to work with the Black Panthers because they're woke. I'm not going to work with Farrakhan because he's Islam. I'm only going to work with, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. because he's a Christian. That's not how it went down.
Right.
Nobody was out there pointing fingers at what you believed in. They were representing black folks. Period. Bottom line. They were about absolutely. The movement of black folks. And if nothing else in the course of what I'm doing and in my voice and the people that listen to me, that's my main thing to get across to you. I don't want to debate if Christianity is perfect. I don't want to debate if I should be Islam. I don't want to debate if I'm an atheist. What I want to do is move black
yes.
folks into liberation, period.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. When you are liberated, you could be all of those things. You can be
absolutely.
Nothing of any of those things, or you could be a piece of each one of those things. It matters me not. What matters to me is that your brown skin is liberated. That's what matters.
Absolutely.
And that's what concerns me with these distractions and dialogues.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. We have to eliminate the distractions and like continue to stay on what are you focusing on. It's like, okay, this is what I need in my life. This is what I want my children to experience. Mm-hmm. This is what I want in my neighborhood. And understand that in the things that you want, it's some people that don't want what you want.
Right.
So my thing would be the people that don't want what you want right now, they're not the ones you should be talking to. Talk to the ones that want what you want. Connect with people that's trying to go where you're trying to go.
Right.
Then let's have a conversation. Then let's move forward. And then as you continue to move forward, you're going to continue to attract more people that's trying to do what you're doing. And then that keeps moving. It keeps this domino effect keeps going. But I feel like the distraction is, you know, shifting and focusing on the ones that don't want what you want. And then all of a sudden you're stuck in a situation where you're fighting on something mm-hmm. that's happening, but yeah. you're missing the mission. People are still dying. People are
right.
still hungry. People
right.
are still uplifting.
Exactly.
People are still in this situation. You know, so
exactly.
the focus is how can I change the mindset of
yes.
of people?
Yes, exactly.
How do I change the mindset of other people? And the way you change the mindset of other people is start with our mindset. Start with ourselves. Start with
right.
what do I need to focus on?
Right.
And then once you figure that out, then start moving towards it, working with those people.
Right.
Like right now, understanding and understanding that this is something I need to do.
Right.
I need to look at myself. What am I trying to focus on? What is my emotion? And then find peace inside yourself.
Yeah.
And once you find peace inside of yourself, mm-hmm. then you're able to move
right.
and not be distracted anymore. Like if I know who I am and know the things that strengthen me, I can't get distracted by someone else because I know what I need to focus on.
Right.
And then when I do deal with those people that try to distract me, I know my go-to, my winning program. And when I say a winning program, when a person start looking at themselves,
right.
you look at the things that bring you. Like for instance, some people may say listening to music calms me down.
Right.
Some people may say take it back to their childhood, coloring in the coloring book mm-hmm. calms me
exactly.
down.
Exactly.
So you need to know those things so that when you're dealing with certain things, you can have your go-to. Say, I'm not going to get distracted by this right now because
mm-hmm.
I understand my mission. I understand I'm trying to get liberation. So I'm not going to deal with that person right now. Either you're with me right now, or I'm ignoring you right now.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. And I want to say this because I don't want to, I'm not saying you deterred anybody or will deter anybody, but I will say this. I'm very transparent, and the people that have listened to me and that follow me have a snippet of my background, and right. I will say this, and we talked about this. I don't know if it's part of the segment that got spliced or not, but we talked about how people are like you mirroring me and us mirroring each other, and that some people get to that. We talked about knowledge. Some people get into the ledge. Some people jump off. But some people stand that ledge and make sure that they got their wings made and they've done planting and they've done all of these things. Let me say this as a broken ass person. And I know people, I had somebody tell me, your soul ain't battered and you're this. Let me say something, okay? My soul is battered. My soul has been through hell and it has come through and still shining. And it's still battered. And that's okay.
Yep.
You feel me? That's my life. I'm broken.
Absolutely.
I'm broken. I'm sad some days. I'm so sad some days. But that's okay too. And at the end of the day, when I'm sad, when I look at you and I see your beauty and I see your greatness, I'm still going to speak that to you. So you don't have to be perfect where you need to be to speak life and to create a dialogue in someone else.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad you said that. You know, because of what you went through, it helps you understand when someone else is going through that exact same thing, you know, and that's the beauty in it. Like, we're all beautiful beings. We're all incredible. We're all wonderful. We're all amazing, even though we don't feel it sometimes, but we're all amazing.
Right.
And all we have to do is locate that gift within us. Like you said,
right.
You know, you, even when you feel in a certain way, you still reach out and give certain people things. It's just like the person that maybe listen to us right now, that may be a good cook. Cooking is your thing. So it may be someone that you see out there that you know doing something amazing, you know, and you may feel like, oh, I would love to give that person $200 or $500. Mm-hmm. No, just cook them a plate.
Okay.
Cook them a plate. Take them something to eat. If you're a singer or whatever and you don't have much money, you know what? Just sing them a song and send that for them. Like, we can do so many different things. Like, we're amazing people. It's like that buffet, that energy that you have. Like, find your gift.
Exactly.
So I'm saying to the person right now, find your gift, whatever your gift is, and use that gift to bring liberation to other people. Use that gift. It can be a talent show. You know what I mean? You can bring a talent show together. You can bring a, you know, it's so many, so people have so many different gifts. And that's one thing I do when I deal with people. I look at it like, what is your gift? And a lot of times people forget their gift, and then you show it to them, and they're flying. They're flying again because they're reminded, you know?
And I think that's an excellent way to end this, because I said 30 minutes. I know we into an hour, but I think that I think that's an excellent way to end this. Do it.
Let me say something else before you end it.
So to anyone
that's listening right now, I want you to know that you are powerful. I want you to know that you're amazing. I want you to know that you're incredible. I want you to know that you're wonderful. That despite your past, despite the things that you went through, despite the things that people said to you, you are amazing. And I want you to think about the things in your life right now that you're the most proud of. I want you to think about the things in your life that you did, that thing that you said, you know what? I did that. And I want you to focus on that thing. And I also want you to focus on one person in your life that you adore. Focus on that one person that you adore. It could be that little baby that you hold. It could be that person that spoke in your life, that grandparents, someone, that friend that spoke to you, that professor, that one person that believed in you. I want you to think of that person right now. You see how amazing that feels? Now I want you to start thinking of yourself the exact same way you just thought of that person. That's how amazing you are. That's how powerful you are. Never forget that. Now pick your head up. Pick your chest out and walk with your power.
You know what? I ain't even gonna say nothing other than thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For coming on. Thank you for spending time. Thank you for your gift. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I'm eternally grateful, honestly, and I can't say that enough to you. And I appreciate everyone who took the time to hit this play button and listen to me and Antonio talk about manifestation and application. And I believe in each one of you. I say it after every podcast, and I'm going to say it again. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. Whoever you are, and whatever
you're
doing, Yes.
You're powerful.
I believe in you. I really do. And Antonio, you already know, but I'm going to tell you anyway, I believe in you too. And
absolutely. I know you do it. I believe in you.
Keep doing what you're
doing. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, people are listening. You're reaching people, you know, that need to hear this message. So keep doing what you're doing. You provided a space where they could get information, get some love, and at the same time, get some solutions. So keep doing what you do, Queen.
I will absolutely. And thank you again. Yep. And we will talk soon, sir.
Absolutely.
All righty. Have a great night.
You do the same.
Bye.
Bye-bye.